I already forgot how to say it. Niasna, area of NA.
Well, I'm Keith K. I'm a grateful recovering addict. First of all, my clean date's 2/6/14. And I definitely couldn't have done this by myself. I always thought that I could do everything by myself. But I learned the hard way. I am nervous. I'm very grateful to be doing this. A lot of my pain I bring on my own, for sure. I work in the mental health field, so I fit right in there. But first off, I'm very still obsessive, compulsive. I'm OCD, so through my work, I'm either all in or not in at all. So I was working an obsessive amount of hours, like as many as I could, until they finally started putting a cut to it. And it was causing me a lot of pain. I spoke to bosses about it, and they would tell me, you need to cut back your hours. I wasn't listening. Well, through God, and I share my experience, strength, and hope through God, and I know that in the long run, He saw what I was going through. I was sharing it at meetings. I was actually living, I felt that it was good for me when it wasn't. And everybody kept telling me, you work too many hours. So eventually they cut our hours back, and it's been such a blessing. It's helped my personal life enormously. It's helped my recovery enormously. I had worked with my sponsor. He doesn't work there anymore, so I was always in contact with my sponsor, like every day. So I could talk to him about anything I wanted to, because I'd see him every day. And now he's not in the area, because he's like 30, 40 miles away, and I don't get to speak to him as much. And it's been painful. There are some other... I have a couple close friends that I do talk to in recovery, and I can share anything with, and I do trust them, because I do have trust issues, which is another thing, I try to look at on the positive side, because I do tend to put myself in situations that I shouldn't still. I try to recognize the risks. If I see any risk, I know to back up a little bit. It's just where I tend to go. A little bit about myself real quick. I went through a few things when I was younger. I started using at a pretty young age, and we were in an accident, and my mother got hurt. It was like a weird boating accident, and I watched my mother go through a lot of pain and misery, and the disease eventually killed her. This was back in the 70s. The accident was in the 60s. I'm 63, so 62, excuse me. Make myself older, I am. But I've learned through sharing, through people, and I know when I do share, and when I'm going through things, that there is someone there that has went through what I'm about to go through. Eventually, I will find someone that I can, like I said, with the trust, because I've taken suggestions from people that I shouldn't have, thinking that it would be best for me, and it ended up it wasn't. So I, tend to watch what I'm, getting myself into. Because like I said, I'm either all in or all out. And I've learned through sharing that, and sometimes this is tough for me to talk about, but I never was aware that my mother died, through a direct result of this disease. I knew what had happened, but I guess I just didn't put it all together. And it eventually led to some mental health issues with her. And you don't put claustrophobic woman in a padded room. She ended up having a heart attack and died 47 years old. I was 17. And that had a lot to do with my addiction going crazy, it really did. I had to move away from my father. I moved to Erie, put a small town kid in a city, in the middle of a city. That didn't work out too good for me. But I've shared about this with people, like I said, that I do trust, and I really have found out, and it's helped me a lot that, my mother did die from, direct result of addiction from what she had went through. it manifested and ended up taking her life. Like I said, I'm OCD too, so I tend to cause pain to others. Something I'm trying to get better with. You know, like I said, I know this is something I'm going to have to do all my life, for sure. You don't take 40-some years of addiction and just wipe it out, you know, in a couple years. I had been in recovery in the mid-90s. Only came because I had, you know, stay out of jail, chase women, and then I was in a car accident. Never really liked opiates, but that's where it took me. And so I had a 20-year relapse. It's not something that I try to dwell on, though I do suffer physical pain every day. It does cause me anxiety. It does cause me, you know, like I said, my mental capacity sometimes is dwindled from it, and it makes me go outside the box where I want to be, you know, and then I cause pain to others. And I try to go in and share about it. I've done a lot of service work, something that we've got away from this summer, to spend a lot more time doing things, which I feel is one of the rewards of the program. But I'm starting to notice it is causing me mental pain. And when I have mental pain, I cause pain to others. I'm fortunate to have a girlfriend that's in recovery too. She understands me quite well, but I know it causes her pain. I try to, to be as honest as I can, even though that's painful. I know it's painful for a lot of people. I've watched a lot of people come in, and I've watched, you know, when you walk through the door and you ask somebody, how are you doing? They say, all right. I see so many times that they're not, everybody's not all right. And I try to get people, I've had sponsees come in and come out, and some of them aren't here anymore because they would not share what was going on with them. And it's a tough pill to swallow. This disease has just taken so many lives, I know, in our area and everywhere else. And I know the newcomer is the most important person in any meeting. There is something I'd like to read. I know, Hope, I don't want to read the same thing she did. By sharing the experience of our recovery with newcomers, we help ourselves stay clean. We share comfort and encouragement with others. Today, we have people in our lives who stand with us. Getting away with our self-centeredness gives us a better perspective on life. By asking for help, we can change. Sharing is risky at times, but we're becoming vulnerable and be able to grow. Some will come to Narcotics Anonymous still trying to use people to help them continue their habit. Their closed mind is a barrier against change. A spirit of open-mindedness coupled with admission of powerlessness is the key that will unlock the door to recovery. If someone with a drug problem comes to us seeking recovery and is willing, we will gladly share with them how we stay clean. And one of my home groups, we have, both home groups, we split up and have, a separate little meeting. And for a couple of years, I was actually doing both of them, taking the meetings in the back. So I was, I felt more, like I said, sometimes I'm not trusting. And it's something I'm working on. And I found that I've taken the meetings in the back rooms, and sharing things that are really, intimate stuff and things that I couldn't share in front of everyone helped me grow a lot. I know that, that it's nothing. Like I said, I always thought I'd do everything by myself. It obviously didn't work in the past for me. I know my first year clean, I did meetings every day, pretty much every day or 6 days a week. And then after that, it's, dwindled down. And in the service work, I did service work for 3 years. And I feel, and now when I'm going to meetings, I've noticed that the other people that are taking over, you know, I'm being self-centered because it doesn't seem like it's good enough. Like, I feel like I was doing a better job than they were. And we're informing people much better, and now it doesn't seem like we're getting informed. I didn't hear anything about this retreat at either home group being announced. And I took my girlfriend hostage whenever I was doing the, being a GSR. I was a GSR, one home group treasurer at the other, and I said, told her there was a position open at the one we need her to fill. Well, she didn't know, because I had to switch home groups from the GSR to the other one, because there was just a situation there. So I ended up, I was GSR in home group for a year, went to the next home group, was GSR for a year and a half. They felt that I guess I, you know, must have been doing well enough. They wanted me to make these trips once a month, which can be really, sometimes then things can last 4 hours, and it gets monotonous. So then I went back to the other, I ended up going back to my old, the home group that I started as a GSR, and did that again for a year. And I took my girlfriend hostage. Says, you're not only going to be a treasurer opposite to where I'm the home group, in our home group, or I'm the GSR, you can be the GSR too, since I'm already going back and forth, and you can go with me. So, and I know that caused a little pain, but I think she's happy she did it. But like I said, I'm very self-centered still. It's going to be there. I know that. It's something, you know, to me, being self-centered helps me share. It helps me get things out of me because it's all about me at the time. And the service work, to me, helped me more than anything because I learned a lot. I met a lot of people when I was doing CRS. There's one person I recognize here I did CRS classes with. And I met some people from Indiana and was spending a lot of time in Indiana for a while to help me out. You know, sometimes I have to meet other people outside because I become friends with a lot of people and get too close. That's what I had my first sponsor. I could dope fiend him to death because we became close friends. And it got to the point where I'm still very good friends with him and still we do things together. That it got to the point where we weren't working recovery together. We were doing more friend things together. And it was still, you know, we're keeping each other clean, but I'm not moving on in my recovery. And that's when I got the sponsor, like I said, work with. And then now with him gone, I'm not sure. I'm thinking about going back to my old sponsor. That's causing me pain. Because I know what the result of it was before. It was nothing bad. I just wasn't moving along, you know, and I know I need to move along. You know, I need to make some progress. My job helps me make progress. I work with, almost everyone I work with is in recovery. Like I said, it's in a mental health facility. But, you know, if I have to talk to somebody about anything, I know there's someone there to talk to. It's a blessing. Like I said, you know, I can't do this. We can. There's always someone I can connect with, always, that knows what, that has experience with what, you know, I'm going through. I went through a couple minor surgeries with less than a year clean, excuse me. And whenever I was, because I was talking in at a meeting about it, and the guy said, make sure you take someone with you when you go. And thank God I did, another recovering addict. Because they were so adamant about putting things in me that I couldn't have in me. You know, like, and they kept, like, the anesthesiologist kept, like, from this to this, well, how about this? How about this? Like, no. Like, and thank God I had another recovering addict with me because I don't know where that would have led. I'm deathly scared of opiates. Deathly scared of all drugs, but opiates in particular. Like I said, I want to thank everybody for listening. I know I rambled a little bit, but if I can help one person got one little shred of hope out of this, you know, I'm successful. Thank you.